CliffCentral.com. Good morning, everybody. We've got Cree J. Govender popping by. We're going to talk to her, catch up with what she's been on about. Hey, listen. The last time I spoke to you was exactly a year ago. Do you realize that? Yeah.
To the day.
What the hell's going on here? Sit down anywhere you like, Cree J. It's your studio.
So now it's basically going to be Cree J. Day going forward.
Absolutely.
So this time next year as well.
This is Cree J. Day.
Has to be. We'll wear something special. It'll be fun.
Are you gorgeous?
Oh, man. You know, I was hoping to be thinner.
Oh, man, and she rubs her thighs.
I was hoping, last year I looked at you guys, and you were all, you still look great.
Oh, thanks. You're very kind. You're also blind.
No, you do.
I'm trying, yeah.
Yeah, so.
You know, I went to Discovery for my vitality points the other day.
And?
And, no, it says that I'm 2 vitality years younger than I actually am, which is good.
What, Cristiano Ronaldo, dude?
No, I know. I was thrilled by this, but then somebody said to me here in the office, oh, but you realize you're just getting older, so you're not going to be able to turn back time. Eventually, you're going to deteriorate, even if you work hard.
Oh.
Because the working hard curve goes like this.
Right.
And then the aging curve goes like that.
Right.
And you're always going to be halfway between the two.
But I've heard research, research, who knows what that is, mm-hmm. but research is saying that now we're going to live, this group,
yes.
like we're going to live till the 90s, like Nelson Mandela ages.
Longer than that.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, they say we could even live, the average lifespan in the next 20 years could increase to 150 years old.
Wow.
How'd you like to look 150 years old? But the best news is they might also be able to keep you young. So you could say, like me at 25.
Oh, okay, cool.
That would be nice.
Yeah, I still want to see the evidence. just see the evidence, Yeah,
there's no evidence at the moment.
But the biggest question is, would we still be able to, does the biological clock also,
Could have kids?
Yeah, do you have kids?
Oh, sex and kids. Yeah? No, you could,
At what age?
150-year-old, bumping uglies.
Oh.
Yeah, if you bump too hard, everything turns to dust.
What a great thought to have on this Thursday morning.
You know, like those porcelain dolls that they smash very easily? So at 150, you just have to do it really carefully, or the person will just, like an eggshell, they'll just crack and everything will come running out.
Well, that's great, because then you don't have to worry about putting you in an urn. There you are.
Oh, you're doing it yourself.
Yeah. Just yourself. Everything. You've just done everything yourself.
So how are you doing? What's news?
Absolutely nothing, really. So
no nonsense.
Oh no, okay.
So you've been working hard.
I have been working hard.
Didn't you just get back from Turkey?
Yes.
Turkey.
Let me tell you, Turkey is in my belief like the new New York. Like New York is so 2016, but Turkey is really happening.
Where did you go? Istanbul.
Izmir.
Izmir.
Yeah.
Now, did you bump into the president there? Because Turkey's having a bit of a tough time.
Turkey's always having. Like, Turkey is a bit like us, except bigger, larger, more population, more carpets. Other than that, so I was in Turkey. I do a really good gig for Coca-Cola.
Okay, nice.
So Coke sits in Atlanta. Coke International sits in Turkey.
Oh, wow.
So it's the oddest thing, because there's like 10 countries that I host an event for every year. It's been happening for the last 3 or 4 years. And they are Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, all your stans, Kazakhstan, Pakistan.
All the stans.
All the stans, yeah. And they all speak English, obviously. And apparently our English, South African English, is very understandable. Whereas if the Americans are too loud, the British are too posh and intimidating. And apparently we are like just a neutral, lovely language. And we kind of know where to joke and
so
not
you've been
to joke.
Have you been to Tajikistan?
Not yet, but I'm going to go there.
Turkmenistan?
Yeah, jeez. And Azerbaijan, which is apparently like the new Azerbaijan,
Wow, look at these places you're getting to go to, and you tell me nothing's new. This is fascinating. What happens in this?
I know nothing about their history.
No, but what happens in a place like Azerbaijan? What kind of people are there?
Very, very, very hospitable, very much like how Tanzanians were a few years ago before they all came to South Africa. and just got, nasty. Yeah. Very much like Tanzanians.
Okay. So warm, welcoming,
very
friendly.
Warm, very welcoming, very friendly. And obviously they've got that nasty business side to them. Like,
Russians.
Like, yeah, because they, you're so good.
Yeah,
yeah, they, so they speak Russian. Mm. And they speak their local language, but I mean, at
so in
the
other
end
words, come in, have some food, sit here, very oh, nice, have you here, let keep you warm at fire, but fuck me in business, I kill you.
Wow.
Right?
That was exactly the conversation I actually had. Except wow. That, yeah.
Well, the yeah. Directors of Coke are pretty hardcore, huh?
No.
All right, so Turkey, you did this thing then.
And then I've got another little thing on the side, as all Indians do, which is auto advisor.
What's that?
I was meant to call you guys about it. I completely forgot. So it's like a trip advisor for cars. So I've hooked up with a few. You know, I'm looking at the entertainment industry is just going south.
Yeah.
So,
also comedies, you know, there's a lot of competition at the moment. So many comedians.
It's not that. It's hitting the same note, you know, for
what do you
me,
mean?
For comedy.
I think it's getting boring.
I think Ooh. People are getting sharper online, and the reaction from just your regular guy is sometimes just far funnier than comedians. Comedians have
wow.
to get sharp.
That's
in a way, they're writing the material for you, I suppose.
Yeah.
But, you know, guys on Twitter are so quick. You know, you just go, wow, that's really sharp for somebody sitting at a bank.
I mean, there could be a story in the news. I know what you're getting at here, because there's a story in the news. 5 minutes later, there's someone making very funny comments on Twitter. You've got a gig that night. By then, it's old.
It's old.
Isn't
that's
it interesting? Because Stuart Taylor was bringing up that point.
This is the evolution of comedy.
That it is. It is.
But,
so,
of course, none of these people online, funny as they are, is going to build a following or have a gig that night or be able to make money out of it.
Yeah.
So they can laugh themselves to death. They can make all the rest of us laugh to death, but they're never going to make a cent.
It's not that. I think it's the videos. It's the videos the videos that go viral are probably,
okay.
So either you adapt or die, or you just join guys in the moto industry because they never go out of anything.
That's very
so
good.
So auto advisor is a trip advisor for cars. That's what it is.
And you're involved in that how?
I'm the realist, and so the guys that I'm working with are very tech savvy, you know, because everything goes online with this, and it's you've got to go online to engage with it.
So it's like a robo advisor. So you would put in, I want a family car, I have this much to spend.
Right. But you also
I live in Johannesburg,
listening,
and it'll churn out all the options.
No, you're listening to everybody else's opinion about the car. Generally, you get the opinions of car experts, journalists. This is listening to, because so often, you know, and I'm going to be a little bit, I don't know much about cars. I know what I like. I know the feel of what I like. And then I want to, don't talk to me about rev counts and all of that.
Horsepower.
I break it down.
Yeah.
Horsepower is great, you know. Horsepower's been around for you.
Horsepower's great.
But the point is, so when the gents talk to me, so I say, okay, right, so what does that mean in layman's terms? So that's who I am, basically, layman. And then also bringing a little bit of comedy into it where I can. So basically, you would write your review of what are you driving right now?
Oh, Land Rover.
Wow. Oh. Weren't you driving a Land Rover last year?
Yeah, it's the same one. Fucking
right.
So bored. I'm so bored with this car. I get into it every morning. I'm like, I'm lucky to have a car, right? I appreciate having a car. I appreciate that it's diesel and that hasn't gone up as much as petrol.
Right.
So I'm grateful for certain things. But Jesus, I'm so bored with this car. You have no idea.
So
why? How?
I'm just bored with it. I'm bored with it. Everything about it is boring to me. I would rather be driving a Polo because a Polo would be more exciting to me than this car I'm driving. I'm not even joking.
He's not even kidding. If
no.
you look at the number of Land Rovers that are getting hijacked versus the Polos. He wants excitement. Go get the Polo.
Yeah.
Right, there we go.
What's a little stick-up situation dealing with guns and hijackers?
But so you were going to make a point about that?
About your car?
Yeah. You're saying, well, what are you driving?
Yeah, so then what you'd basically do, go and you'd write about it.
Write about this car.
Well,
I'm bored
to death.
You know what I'll say? I have nothing to say about this car.
Well, you know what? That car is going to attract your guy that just needs stability right now.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
That's it.
Okay.
He just needs a bit of stability.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. So in other words, I can go on there and I can find out about cars from ordinary people. Learn about these things and then I can make an informed decision.
That's it. From
what
people.
What a boring thing for you to be involved in. You're so funny and interesting. And here you are advising people on cars. All right, fine. Fine. Last time you were here,
yes.
You were so rude about your husband.
I haven't changed.
Oh, okay.
I loved it, though, because it's so refreshing. A lot of people so worried about what everyone else thinks of them.
I have a picture.
You got a picture of your husband?
I have a picture, which I've posted on his family chat. He's got a very big family, like all Indians. But this picture, and I just love the responses. I mean, that's what I said. You can't buy comedy. Like, so that's the picture.
Of him in a onesie.
In a panda onesie.
Yes.
Which I took and promised never to post, which is just dumb, right? I mean, the fact that he knows me.
You're obviously going to post it.
I'm obviously going to post it. And I just waited for him to say something odd about me. I had no comeback. And I was like, that's when you post a picture.
It's so vindictive. And what were the responses from his family?
Wow. Is it dress up night? Some of them didn't know it was a panda. Playboy bunny, they called it. Asking about kung fu. I mean, they were really sharp. You know, okay. Really, really sharp. And these are just his aunts.
And they're all having fun at his expense.
Absolutely.
So you've continued to mock him in public.
Yeah, I mean, you've just got to write free comedy.
Yeah, but why?
It's a delightful marriage.
Of course it is. I bet you it's more successful than all those marriages where people pretend they love each other as soon as the doors close.
Will Smith posted this video on marriage. I mean, Will Smith. I mean, I just wish he'd just drag aliens into ships.
Yeah?
But yeah.
And what did he do?
His take was something like, don't find happiness in each other, find happiness alone, and it's two single journeys. I was like, flip, why on earth did you even get married? But, you know,
well,
apparently, according to him, apparently you can't make the other person happy in life.
No, you can't. I mean, don't you agree with this?
I completely disagree.
Okay, well, let me try and explain. I haven't seen Will Smith, but I think I resonate with what he's saying, if you're paraphrasing him right. So he's saying two people get together. If they're incomplete people, if they're unhappy, if there's some big yawning gap in them that they need filled, and they find another person and they think that person's going to fill the gap, they're in trouble. Because you've got to go into a relationship.
Gareth,
you've got to.
Who goes into a relationship thinking about gaps?
No, here's the deal. You don't go into a relationship thinking about any of that stuff. What happens is you're a person. You're living your life. You're trying to improve yourself if you're any good at all. Trying to fill the gaps, trying to learn more about the world, trying to understand your own psychology, trying to be a good human being, right?
Right.
And you're never going to be complete because otherwise you would have attained everything, you might as well just die. So all the way through your life, you're trying to improve. You're adding little bits and pieces. But if you think someone else is going to fill the spaces, the void, the emptiness, the unhappiness in you, then you're parasite. You're feeding off that person. That's not good for them. You want two complete people or near complete people who add value to each other.
Oh, my word.
And carry on together.
It is not a corporation, really. You don't come there with a big, fat CV. This is what I've achieved in my life.
Listen, you're telling me this. I'm single. So you win already.
There you go. No, I completely disagree. I think there's nothing wrong with having people fill in voids in your life.
But if you can't be happy on your own, you're never going to make someone else happy or be happy with someone else.
Unless you love them. Because isn't love supposed to be selfish and then unselfish as well? So the unselfish bit is filling the void in the other person. When you are miserable in a relationship, you're miserable in life. When you are happy in a relationship, you're happy in life.
Okay, yeah. That makes sense.
So
what's this love thing you speak of? How does that work?
Love.
Tell me about love. I've never heard of this.
Probably the only thing that evolves, really. Everything else I don't believe evolves. I don't believe we are evolving.
That's interesting.
Really. But that evolves. It really does.
So with you and your husband, I mean, you can make fun of each other, but you're obviously happy together.
Yes,
yeah. And that, when you've got kids together and you've built a life together, there's meaning there. There's a kind of something worth fighting for.
Yeah, well, you don't even have to fight because, you know, you just because the... I think the kids are very important in a relationship.
Yeah.
I had this chat with my daughter yesterday, and I said, I just want you to know you are not my number one priority. And it all came out of that video. You know, it's like, what are you talking? So, you know, so they go, so if there was a fire, and you could save. I was like, yeah, I'll save your dad because I can make another of you. But really, you are not my number one. They've got to get it because they really
do. They've got to understand. They are a totally sustainable resource.
That's it.
You can always make more of them.
That's it.
You still have the equipment. He still has the equipment.
That's it. Yeah. And then after that, and I am pumping money into these. That's my investment. I'm pumping money into them and then hoping that one of them is going to look after me in old age. Everything that I thought I didn't want in life, I now want.
So you're basically looking for a servant.
A retirement servant. That's it. That's what kids are.
Wow. Your kids must be so excited about their future. Wiping your saggy ass crack at age 150.
Gareth?
As you skid down the passageways of your old age home. What lucky children these are. Yes. You know, you think about it when you analyze.
You do know that they're money sappers, right? That's what they are.
Look, I understand your bitterness. Don't get me wrong. These kids are the most expensive thing. I heard a statistic, and this is already probably about 4 years old, that a kid, if you want to put them through a good, not the best, but a good school.
Right.
You want to send them to university maybe to study an ordinary bachelor's degree in something.
Right.
And you got to pay for along the way for their clothes and their books and their food and their, you know, they go away with their friends occasionally and that kind of thing. Minimum stuff. We're saying, you know, this is not survival stuff, but it's like giving them the best head start you can.
Right.
They say $2 million a child minimum. And that was 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
$2 million, like a month?
No,
a year?
No, over the course of.
Oh, Jesus.
No.
I mean, that's minimal, huh?
That's minimal.
You want to buy them that pair of shoes they really want? Oh, we're talking $3-4 million by the end of that calculation.
So, you know what you've got to do? You've got to do what Serena Williams' dad did.
Oh. Yes.
Yeah, he had 4 horses in the race. Seriously? I mean, that's what I'm doing. 4 horses in the race.
Yes.
Threw 4 of them into tennis. You know, I just love that story. That's what he did. And then he got lucky because 2 of them came out with the...
Serena and Venus.
Venus. Nobody... Exactly. Do we even know the other 2 kids' names?
No.
No.
Well, do you know what Andre Agassi's penis brother and sister
and Regina.
What?
Exactly.
You don't know Penis and Regina.
Andre Agassi's dad.
Who were the other two Supremes?
Nobody knows.
Oh. Sorry, you were saying
Andre Agassi,
Ben, what happened?
Yes. His dad was a...
was a monster.
His dad was feeding him like LSD and stuff and speed because he definitely wanted it. He made them live in a shit house so they had enough land to build a tennis court, and he literally put them out like horses. Andre was the only one that just had the stick.
That's what you got to do. So I'm doing that.
I hear you.
I'm doing that on a different level. So I'm going to educate the 2 girls because apparently the future is female.
Yes.
apparently.
Do you know that 70% of the university population in most developing countries is now female?
There you go.
Right.
So I'm going to educate the 2 girls and the little boy, I'm not. I'm just going to, because I figure that...
No, labor.
Labor or sport. One of those 2.
Bricklayer, plumber, electrician.
No, you've got to sit there and plan it, right? Or Indian rugby player. Right?
First one. But
no. There's 2. Gosh, there's 2. There's 2 guys.
Who are you lying?
There's 2 guys. The Blue Bulls have got 2 Indians. Wait for these boys to come out. Oh, man. You know what I don't get? I don't get how the Sharks, could be in derbs
and not have one Indian
rug just for ticket sales. You know, the Indians will go and watch.
Can you imagine?
Can you imagine?
It would be full every week.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to play rugby to be a
and
Shark.
And that's just the family. There wouldn't even be other Indians.
That's just it. Every week. And they'll come to the practice games. I mean, it's just business sense. Anyway, that's a great business strategy.
All right, so the son, you just want him, maybe sport, maybe labor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you see,
he's cost me a lot of money. Let me explain. Right.
Please.
I've put in burglar guards during the World Cup. I got robbed 3 times by the same guy. I know him.
You know this person?
I know the person. I went and spoke to him and his parents. I left a note for him on the window because I knew he was going to come in the third day. I didn't have burglar guards. No. So he took the TV on the third day. We kind of recognized him.
He's a drug addict?
Yeah, from the neighborhood. And then we went and spoke to his mom. And then they moved a few years. I feel really sorry for the woman because they move every few years because she's got this problematic child. Yeah. And then he dropped the TV. The TV is now on Rhythm City because I was working at Rhythm City. It's on Rhythm City, sponsored on the set. The point is, I had no burglar guards. So 2010, I had to bring in burglar guards because that was proof that people can enter. Then I had this boy, child, and he started escaping from the inside.
Oh, my God.
And we couldn't find him for hours. We couldn't find him the one time. Then, because he just started escaping, so I had to reinforce the burglar guards for the kid. So that's just really cost me a lot of money.
Well, that's only the beginning. How old is he now?
3.
No, he's going to cost you a fortune because boys get hurt more because they do more dangerous and risky things. He's going to want to play sport. You're going to want him to play sport. Yeah, he's going to get injured a lot. The medical bills are going to go crazy. The football equipment.
So are you going to have kids?
Hell no.
I bet you. I will give you. I will. Okay. Next year, 2nd of August.
Yes. Cree J.
I said it. Okay. I'm never wrong.
Right, you know what? I reserve the right to change my mind. And the nice thing about being a man is you can have kids at any age.
That's just it. Apparently, I can do whenever I want. 2 seconds after you die.
Well, that's fantastic news because then I don't have to be responsible for the little fucker. Isn't that great? 2 seconds after I die, I can have a kid.
Oh, that's just adversarial.
My lucky wife. Wow, that's amazing.
Save it.
No one needs that.
That's phenomenal. What an interesting thing.
Right.
How do you know that?
But your son, so your husband must be happy he's got a little boy, no?
He was never excited about the boy because he had, apparently somebody told him that if you have girls at a certain age, they go shopping with their mom and then you have time to play because his entire life, all he wanted to do is sit in front of a TV and play a video game.
PlayStation or Xbox or whatever.
Which I think that's what they all do at work anyway because that's
if you left men alone in a world where we weren't distracted by women, because we can't help it when a woman walks in, then everything switches on automatically. You're like, oh, there's a woman, and you forget about everything else. But if you just had men, all they would do all day is play games and watch porn. That's all they would do.
You're disputing that.
Porn. They would hardly even eat.
Well,
maybe not all the porn.
You know what? I don't want to think about that. There's just something about that that's just
bothers you. Makes you uncomfortable.
It bothers me. It does.
See, women wouldn't do that.
What?
Just porn.
Or play the video game.
Or the video game. You know what I mean? So ask Ben quickly, because he sounds like, he was the youngest child. He was a boy.
Yeah.
And he was he was just let into the wild. His parents would open the gates at 6 in the morning, and they'd close the gates again at 6 at night. And if Ben wasn't in, he was out.
Yeah, seemed all right.
How many were there in your family?
4. I was the youngest of 4. There was 2 boys who were 10 months apart. So they were always fighting each other and then bullying me when they wanted to get the confidence up. Mm-hmm. And then a sister who was the eldest.
Okay. And your name is Ben. That's great. My son's name is Oben. Spelled like a Ben with an O in the front.
Okay.
Yeah. Because that's what...
You want him to grow up wild like Ben?
Absolutely, my word.
Kind of like Mowgli, just with more ambition.
Nothing wrong with that. That sounds like a plan.
Anyway, the point is, I'm parenting. I've just gone back to every stereotype that you could possibly have about parenting, and I'm sorry.
Are you apologizing already?
I'm not apologizing for parenting that way. It's just I've realized that's the best way. How, you know, like everybody's like, leave your kids, let them discover what they want. No.
Oh.
No.
You micromanage them.
I don't micromanage them. I tell them that is it. I am paying this amount of money. I expect these results. I actually say that.
And it's working?
It's working on the big one. It's working. I don't know about the middle one.
I'll refer to them in size.
It's working on the one. But I have. And how do you know this? Because at the end of the year, they all get to write letters to the school to say how they like it. And the teacher called me in to say, your kid said in her letter, my mom is paying millions for me to I can hear my voice. They did call me in once to apologize for the drama results, you know, because they expected, because, you know, I'm in, like...
You're in entertainment.
So the drama results would be good. I'm like, okay, I'm cool about the drama results. The drama results can be an F. Talk to me about the math.
Mm.
You know, so... I'm really doing that. I am. I don't know any other way that works. I don't know what my parents did. I think my parents were unaware. I think our parents were completely unaware. Now this thing about being so engaged with the school, I mean, really.
Really? It's tiring, right?
It's tiring.
My parents would go to school maybe once a year for the parents' evening, which I used to shit myself for because I thought, uh-oh, they're going to tell them what a badly behaved little asshole I am. And they, I wouldn't be nervous for that one day, but it was over.
That was it.
And you didn't have to worry. They'd drop you off. They'd fetch you. The rest of the thing was yours. You had some friends who were probably dodgy. You had some friends who were a good influence. Your parents never knew.
My parents didn't know a thing. Because I grew up in Marion Hill. Do you know what my school is famous for?
In Durban, Marion Hill. Isn't that Hill? Your school is famous? Well, that whole area is famous for the uphill comrades.
To the wider world.
And the
world.
Toll plaza.
That's what everybody thinks they know, right? And the monastery. But it's also where the 31 million Rand guys came from. That was where
Oh, those gangsters.
Yeah, so they were all in my school.
Jeez. They stole 31 million Rand?
Oh, my gosh. That was like it's the best heist story in the country because nobody got shot.
Tell Sia what happened. He has no idea. And he lived in Durban.
Yeah, yeah. So a bunch of guys got together and decided to rob one of those vehicles. What did they call it?
Cash in transit.
Cash in transit. That was like the first successful cash in transit. And they say 31 million.
You reckon?
I reckon not. So I'm still in touch with a lot of people from school. And
then,
One of the guys is a warden at the prison. Mm-hmm. And the other guys, same class. Mm-hmm. One is a warden and one is an inmate.
Yeah.
Share stories about teachers all the time.
Wow.
So it wasn't a, it was kind of average. And so my parents never came to school.
No, because they would have
robbed.
Yeah.
That's why that sounds very
what a
reasonable.
Life. Yeah. What a life. Are you glad you got out of there?
No.
No, you want to go back?
It kept me real. I am sort of like, I hate living in don't get me wrong. Everything that I possibly wanted from apartheid changing kind of happened.
Okay.
But now, the fact that I'm collecting, I started to collect Tobies.
What's that?
You know those mugs, the character mugs that the English make?
Oh, no, you don't collect. Those are hideous, terrible.
I love them. I love them. And I don't know where. And I just want to say.
It must be old people that you had around when you were a little kid.
Possibly, except we had the fakes. Now I'm starting to collect the real things.
Are they?
You know, can I just say to
you,
I really think they're hard to find cheap.
Oh.
Yeah. So then that's the challenge.
So it's
right?
Like collecting Rolexes, except ugly mugs
of old white men. Yeah. Except this one, I think of what's the famous jazz guy, Sammy Davis.
Wow, that must be expensive
that
because
one
I don't reckon they made a lot of those.
No, there's only about a few in the country. You can just Google it. Toby's.
So, what do you pay for these things?
They can sell. Well, you can pick them up anywhere. Anywhere. So it was a friend's birthday last night, so I gave him one. He had no clue what they were. But he's got an extensive bar. So
was
I
was
like,
he angry with you?
No, he wasn't.
Oh, he liked it.
He liked it, okay. There is something quite special about drinking from a mug with an old white man's face in it.
It is. It's quite empowering.
It's very empowering.
All right, so what do you pay for these things?
Toby's? On eBay, you probably can get one for about 65. They go up from 65.
I just had to Google image them. There's a Jeremy Corbyn one that I just saw as well.
A hideous thing.
Wow.
It's a limited edition.
They're beautiful, guys. They are beautiful.
So you get mugs and jugs, right?
Yeah. You get the mugs, you get
so
the jugs.
So how many do you have?
I've just started collecting them because I've decided that the tea sets are not working.
Have you got a Donald Trump one? Because they're making those.
They're making a Donald Trump one?
Yes.
Oh, man.
They've got an Al-Qaeda one. Look at this.
There's
a guy here. There's an Al-Qaeda guy.
So nobody's made of any South Africans?
No.
You see?
Because you're the only South African who collects them.
There's one of the Queen, and the handle is one of the Queen's dogs. So you hold on to the dog and
there's
you drink
a Hitler
from the
one,
queen.
Apparently.
No, there cannot
I
be
swear
a Hitler
to
one.
Fuck, no,
there can't be a Hitler one.
You
that would
these
sell for a fortune.
There's an Obama one. He's an old white guy, so that's quite interesting.
There you go. So they're starting to move. They're starting to shift. So my big plan is to shift the Toby industry.
That's incredible. This could be your big thing. This could
after
be.
After the cuts.
Yeah, I mean, you could sell the kids off to sport or academia or whatever. And you could sell your Toby mug collection.
That's the plan, Gareth. Ah. That's the plan. That's
you're quite an investment specialist. Who knew we'd be talking about this morning? Huh? You're a fascinating human being.
I know, I was going to bring Toby's up, but anyway, yeah.
So with the kids, I'm curious. So do they know that you are a comedian and that you're funny?
I'll tell you a very odd story. Last week, I met David Carl at Nostrimo's, one of the restaurants or something, and he was there with his – he's got three now. Mm-hmm. He was there with his troupe, and I was there with mine. And I looked at the kids, and I said – because they all – you know, everybody's greeting each other, and he's got – I think he's got a little baby. And then I said to my kids, I said, this is David Carr. And they said, who's David Carr? I was yeah, because that generation just doesn't know, right? They don't know.
I hope he didn't hear that.
No, he did. Oh. And he laughed. And he just said, and I was like, okay, now we're getting old. Because he says, I know your mom for like 20 years. Been together for a long time. They understand it. They can't put a funny together like that because they I'm really quite like Hitler
with them. Yeah, you're serious. You know,
I am.
They're not going ha ha mom, don't joke around. They're like, oh shit, she's on the rampage again.
But I schedule it so they know when it's coming. You know what I mean? Like I'm quite strict. I don't allow them to.
But also,
listen to Nicki Minaj. I mean, that's like for the girls, absolutely not. You know,
bad influence.
And then I looked at the lyrics. Good gosh, I looked at the lyrics that I grew up on, and I thought, what was wrong with our parents that they didn't throw those tapes out?
Two Live Crew. Remember that shit? And in Natal, I was in primary school, and we were listening to My Mama and Your Mama Said Talk Your Little Shit.
Oh,
yep. Your mama called my mama a bored, dagged ass bitch. I know your sister, and the bitch ain't shit.
Sorry.
She slagged me and all the boys and even sucked our dicks.
The fact that you know that so well.
Yeah. Speaks volumes.
You know what? And I was listening to
Jack and Jill went up the hill to have a little fun. Jack got mad, kicked Jill in the ass because she didn't make him come.
So I have introduced them to music, right?
Not that kind of music.
But yeah, I started off with like Enya.
No one can understand what she's singing.
Nobody. I mean, she's just like the safest person ever, right? And then I did a little bit of, what is that?
Enya.
So just to show them that I can be slightly edgy, you know.
Enya.
No, not Enya. Not Enya. What is
Enya's
that?
Enya's not edgy.
Like Spin Doctors are fine because they sing really fast.
Yeah, you can't understand them.
What's it? Crisscross, you know.
Oh, the make you wanna jump.
Yes. Right? It's so safe.
Imagine
the problem with this, though, is now I can't get Jean-Claude Van Damme out of my head. With the Volvo ad.
Right.
I mean, just split it.
I mean, no one can hear what this woman's saying.
Yes. But it's safe, right?
Oh, so safe.
Compared to my anaconda, you know. My word.
My anaconda don't want none. Yeah. Unless you got some, hun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Lyrical genius.
Or, what is one of the guys that's saying, I wanted to sex you up. I mean, how could... I just remember that they're playing in the car.
Yes, I remember that.
Were our parents deaf? That they let us listen to that?
Even Salt and Pepper.
Salt and Pepper.
Push it real good.
Yes. Blow my whistle.
Push
it. I mean, blow my whistle.
What do you think they're singing about?
Yes.
You want to like grab your parents and shake them and go, what were you thinking?
And do you remember just like when Rave, because I loved Rave, but just before Rave came, Blow My Whistle came out.
Yeah.
And all the guys, I mean, you know.
Want to blow your whistle.
I once drove home from somewhere. I was a passenger in the car, and there was a song playing on YFM, and it was the lyrics went, I'm gonna fuck you so hard, make your pussy steam. I wonder how that. I mean, you know, my mother's like driving, and she's
That's it. Yeah. There was something wrong with that that our parents.
They didn't hear.
They didn't hear. They still don't. They still don't.
Maybe you. Made such a noise that they just tuned out all the noise. So they didn't hear you or the songs.
Nothing.
I think that's what happened with my poor mother.
Yeah. So the thing is, I'm quite strict about all of that. I don't know how it's going to turn out. You know, I'll find out in the 2nd of October.
Why is that report cards?
Yeah, that's no. It's when I come. I'm sorry, 2nd of August in 2025.
Oh yeah, next year.
Oh, Creature Day.
Okay.
So that's it. I mean, it's parenting.
So could we do something where we actually keep track of your children's progress, almost like a social experiment? And you can report back to us every year on Creje Day and say, well, the big one is now a little bit disappointing. The middle one is doing well. And the little one is a terrorist.
Hey, let me tell you.
Great visions for the kids.
So I've been heavily influenced by my motherland, England.
Okay.
I'm not kidding. Uh-huh. So they show jump, okay?
Oh, yes, the horses. This is a whole thing.
So the big one did so badly in the last Senesa competition that she doesn't know it, right? But I'm pushing her out of it. And I saw that the little one, see, this is my Venus dad strategy.
Yes, good.
I saw that the little one is jumping well. Uh-huh. So that's the one I'm going to focus for show jumping. So I'm going to pull the academic pressure off that one, put the academic pressure on the big one.
This is very manipulative.
Extremely.
But good. You want successful. What do you want?
How
mediocre
else?
Children?
How
Please.
Else?
Yeah. I can't imagine Creje governed his kids being mediocre. No. They're going to be sterling at one, even if it's just one thing.
One thing. You know, even if I know that nobody's watching it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the beauty of
No one watches show jumping, let's be honest.
Wait.
You and two other mothers.
Hold on. It's taking off, guys. And the groomsmen, right, generally who were previous – well, I think – I don't know if – I've never seen a white groomsman before.
No. Well, England
you now, were. Now their kids are jumping. So the number of black show jumpers that you've got, and they are brilliant.
That's interesting.
That's good. Brilliant. That's
like
brilliant.
That.
It's picking up.
But
it's
what's
very
happening there is it's like it's organic because the dads and mums who knew everything about the horses in the stables are now the ones training their children. Their children get into the supposedly elite thing, blow away the white kids. And everybody goes, oh, look, transformation. But nobody, government's gone in there and said,
that's it.
We need so many show jumping.
You know, can I say something? That's the only kind of transformation that works, which is authentic. Yeah. And it is authentic. What you need to do for transformation is just give people the opportunity.
Right. And the best will come through.
The best will come through.
And of course there'll be more black people than white and Indian because there are more black people
in
this country.
The best will come through and then the funding will follow.
Yes.
But people are just trying to do it the wrong way around. I mean,
because people,
two cents worth.
Don't you find like people look to government to solve all their problems? There was this women's march yesterday and they wanted Cyril to go into every house and stop horrible men from beating their wives. It's not going to work like – it's not going to happen with Cyril. He hasn't got the time. Cyril.
I didn't know that's what they wanted.
Well, they went
He's
to
– paraphrasing.
They went to Cyril with a –
Some of my big girls were there. I didn't know about the march. I was in Turkey.
They went to Cyril with his petition. Now, government's not going to solve all of our problems. They can't make jobs.
You know what government is – what we need to learn from the Americans, and I don't understand why they don't do it here, is political communication via social media where, you know, the fact that Trump tweets, I mean, come on. That is an amazing thing.
You think it's a good thing?
I think that's an amazing thing. I really think that's an amazing thing that he tweets. I'm not saying that his tweets are great, but
especially when he's declaring war on Iran.
That's just it. You know? But you know, you can't miss the message. It's there. It's there. It's literally straight from the horse's mouth. And where I've seen that also, people have gotten really sharp. I think the Indian Prime Minister
is
starting to do that as well. Yeah. And you know what's happening? Youngsters are getting involved in politics in a more engaging way in terms of they talking about it.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't – the old school way of doing politics for me is just gone. And the Americans are so good at political communication. In America, you see your president on TV every single day.
Yeah.
We don't.
I don't know if we want to though, Cyril.
Yeah. Well, I'd love, you know, if I was the president, I would, when there's a message I want to get across, cameras. I'll tweet it, I'll send pictures, and I'll get the message across, you know. But we have to have a rally, then we have a conference, then we have,
behind closed doors. Nobody knows what the ANC, NEC are talking about.
That's just it.
It's also cloak and dagger,
that's
you know.
That's just it,
oh,
you know.
I hear you.
So, anyway.
Son of a bitch.
Oh.
Who? Well, no,
who?
I'm just saying.
There were like eight people we mentioned there.
Our political system. It's just it's a disaster.
A Putin, you know.
Well, isn't he scary? Doesn't he scare you?
You know, I didn't realize that he was 1.68. I actually Googled his height. Then I found out how many people had Googled his height. Because when I saw him with Trump, and then I saw Melania, and then I saw Putin, I was like, oh,
he's
my
a bit
gosh.
Of a dwarf.
He is. Mm. He is. But he's Botoxing.
Oh, big time. He's so smooth. Oh, smooth skin. Oh, for sure.
Oh, although,
don't you think when certain people, when you're earning a certain amount of money, you start doing everything you can to just look as good as possible. Like, you get better suits, you get your hair done differently.
You Putin. I mean, you're Putin. You don't need to.
He wants to. He rides those horses without a shirt on. He's a man. You haven't seen? He wrestles bears.
Really?
Oh, he's trying very hard
I've
to impress
us. I've not seen a Mrs. Putin.
Well, I don't know either.
Oh, there's some, yeah.
There's
some
probably something going on there.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. Has some kids, which we don't really hear about.
Wow,
yeah.
You guys know your Putin.
We know our Putin. Well, isn't he president of the whole of the Eastern
world,
Hemisphere? Yeah.
Yeah,
so we've pretty much got to know who he is. Otherwise, imagine you walk into a shop and you don't recognize him. He's gonna say, why you'll not say hello? Next thing, you're out in the gulags.
Yeah.
But I did watch, I've seen how he's treated by, you know, countries that Russia are affiliated with or support financially.
Yeah.
There's a way in which ministers greet Putin.
Do they lick his shoes?
It's more formal than the Queen. I mean, the Queen at least has got the handshake and the wave.
Yeah.
It's extremely formal. It's
How does it work? How does
you
it
can,
look?
You can Google it because it's amazing. You stand in a straight line, and then when you're called, you walk to the center, then you walk down, then you do three bows. You know, it's not like the Japanese of respect bow. It's for me, it looks like a bow of respect, a fear. Fear bow. And that's
fear
a semi
bow.
Yeah. You know.
Tell me, I hate to be stereotypical about this, but as an Indian in South Africa, are you also a big fan of Bollywood? Some Indians are absolutely not, and some Indians are head over heels.
No, I'm sort of like the one that I allow all the... Because Bollywood makes great films, and Bollywood is bubblegum, right?
Yeah.
It's not...
it's also safe. Your kids aren't going to see any filthy sex.
No, they're starting.
In Bollywood movies.
Yeah, they're starting. So there's no in the past there was a flower that opened that is probably
that meant the vagina.
That's what I said. It's probably, you know, for bright kids it was probably okay. You get it. The flower opened when people kissed and all of that.
Uh-huh.
So they are moving. It's a bit risque, but there is something called the that's why they don't call the whole thing Bollywood. It's the Indian film industry, and they do make really good art films and the serious stuff. Bollywood is safe and it's bubblegum. It's a lot like pop music.
That's the minute they show the two people, the lovers running towards each other, and the beautiful light in the background, and the tree, and the music, and the dancing.
And it's about the clothes.
And the clothes. And then as soon as they come close enough to each other, then it cuts to something else.
Yeah.
Like a song, metaphorical.
Nowadays they're kissing, but they don't do tongue. They're good. They don't do tongue. They do you know what? It's more erotic because they don't show you the sex, for example.
Yeah, for sure.
But the point is, they do stimulate your imagination. So they do a girl in the shower, they'll do enough steam for you to imagine what's going on.
Yes.
So one wonders whether, you know, so deep down inside there, the Kama Sutra always comes out. Eventually.
You guys invented that.
Right.
And this is what I love about India. It's this culture of kind of, on one hand, we are extremely prim and proper.
Right.
We would never tolerate any kind of gratuitous sex stuff. But at the same time, we came up with the Kama Sutra. We've discovered every position you can fuck in. Everyone.
It's a lot like the English, isn't it? On the one hand, they're very proper.
Yeah.
You see actually, why I can't see it. And
your
also
motherland.
The Zulus. Right?
Your
on the one hand,
yes.
very proper.
Yeah.
And on the other hand...
Naughty.
Naughty. Yeah, so I won't deny the kids Bollywood.
Okay.
I think the grandparents are better at introducing it to them because they kind of know the history to it. So for me, I'm very, very aware of my identity, and I'm very big on pushing my South Africanness first. You see, you know.
But this is cool.
You've just got it.
I think this is what's nice. I had this conversation not so long ago with one of our other guests. She's very happy to be like a proud, traditional Xhosa woman. Yes. But at the same time, she's quite modern when she's with her husband and her family. You know what I like about it is that you can draw the best stuff and you can leave behind the stuff you don't want. Nobody can decide what that mix is except you.
Exactly. And it differs from Indian to Indian. In fact, I don't even think we are Indians. I think we're Sindians.
Sindians?
Yeah.
South African Indians.
Yeah, okay. Which is very different, you know. Yeah. And for me, I thought it was very important to distinguish that when the Guptas came. I was like, okay, now we've got to just make sure that everybody gets it.
It's amazing how the minute anybody, white or black, starts talking about the Guptas, they look around to make sure there are no Indians in the room that they're going to upset.
But that's so funny.
Because then the Indians in the room start looking like, no,
that's not us. It's like, if you ever want to see hands go up, if you mention Guptas and then the hands just go in different various fingers are going everywhere, it's just like, not us.
It gets very active. Yeah.
So that was, but that's very important though, you know, because you want to say that's not us. It's not us.
I'm having such a good Cree J day. I really am. This is great. Alan Ford is here because he wants to tell us what's coming up on the Unview today. Hello, Al.
How are you?
How are you?
Beautiful.
Have you heard Alan's theme music?
No.
Here it is. Listen to this. The gayest music we could find.
I thought he was going to put in here.
Oh.
By the way, that's my husband's go-to.
What,
how
this?
Sad is that? No, Enya.
Oh, no.
I'm serious.
No wonder you have horrible things to say about it.
What's Enya? The song?
I'll play you an Enya song.
Yeah.
Thank you, India.
No, that's
Alanis. That's Alanis.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Enya.
Oh, Enya.
Sail away, don't you?
Oh, come on. It's Irish.
Oh, God, it's horrible. See, Alan likes it, too. It tells you everything you need.
Of course, it's beautiful.
I could never understand what this bitch is saying. Yeah.
Him.
Who knows what she's even talking about?
Isn't it Gaelic?
No, it's English, but she just can't speak it very well. All right, Al, what's going on your show?
I dislike you. First and foremost, I would just like to discuss a few issues.
Oh. God, listen, your show starts at 9. All I wanted was a promo.
150 years, Gareth. Could you imagine me at 150 years old?
I could, but I don't want to.
No, because
is that a good answer?
I'm too fat for anything to eat. It works better.
What? Go on.
The biggest animal, Land Rover. Let's move
on. What are you talking about?
He took notes during our interview.
He made notes, but this makes no sense at all. Have you ridden a Ford lately? Oh, I see that. Have you ridden a Ford?
Why would you use a Land Rover if you drive a Ford?
Driving a Ford? Okay.
Alan Ford.
Hang on a second. I saw this. Is this what happens in your brain while we're doing our show? Is this what? Because he sat there. This looks like it looks like a word salad. Of
at least it's a salad.
But this isn't. This is
the only salad you're ever gonna see.
This is insane. You need to go to therapist. This is some crazy stuff. Look at this. Exhibit A. If you ever kill anyone, I'm going to bring this out. I'm going to keep this.
Okay.
That's very, very weird.
Today is a great show.
Of course it's a great show.
What are you going on today? Go on.
It's incredible, as it always is. We open with Peter Dirk Ace.
Oh, wonderful man.
The best in the world. Discussing the Furukama Festival. And then we have two incredible guests in studio.
Mm-hmm.
Marianne Barlow and Chantel Stanfield. Who have a new movie coming out called Farewell, Alabella.
Okay.
It is beautiful.
South African produced movie.
Yes.
Absolutely. Okay. And it's going to be magnificent. And then we're going to end off with one of the greatest comedians that I have seen called Sonia Esquerra. I can't even say the damn name.
So what's her story?
Poralicious.
Yes.
Exceptional.
She's brilliant. Yeah.
You know, this Cree J is a very powerful woman in the entertainment industry.
I know that.
Producer.
I understand, but she's been paid by the Guptas. So we must be very careful how we produce her.
Careful, I pay the Guptas. I've got it now.
No, they
escalated very quickly.
It's going to be a great show. It's called The Unview, The Thin, The Rich, and
The
Fabulous.
All right, Al, thank you. Very good. Well, there we are.
Marianne Barlow is just a brilliant actress. She is.
What's she done that I would know?
She's done a few soaps, but she does more film.
Is she here now?
Yes, right behind
Hello, Marianne Barlow. Hey, yes. How are you? No, I'm so don't feel bad about me not knowing. I don't know what I did last Thursday. Honest to God, I don't even know what day of the week it is.
And she's a Zimba.
Wow. So did she vote by proxy? I'm sure she didn't. I'm sure she's been in South Africa for a long time.
Well.
Listen, that's a whole other story. We're not going to go down that road. Elle, thank you very much.
Have the best day.
Unview at 9 o'clock this morning. Sia, anything else from your side before we say goodbye to Kree J? You want to just tell her how wonderful she is and how great it was to have her here?
Well, really now my Google search history is very odd from this morning. Just Toby Juggs, Putin's Botox. Yeah. And I found out Enya's worth £91 million and she lives in a castle full of cats.
Most of that's from your husband spending money on stupid albums.
She lives alone in this castle
she
with
lives
cats.
Alone?
Yes.
Oh, of course she does.
She's wealthier than Adele. She sold out more records in One Direction. And she lives next door to Bono. How weird is my morning?
God help us all. Kree J, I love having you here. You always make me laugh. You make me feel very happy. And it's delightful to spend time with someone who's so smart and so clever and has done so many interesting things and has found the formula for raising children.
That's
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Kree J Day.
Thank you, guys. Love to be here.
We'll next, everybody next put it in your calendar. 2nd of August is Kree J Day. Don't mess around.
I'm going to be thin next year.
All right, I'm playing Enya.
I'm playing Enya.
Cliffcentral.com.